The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice, but a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him. And she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Jesus said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then Jesus said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." And when she went home, she found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. Jesus took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. And then, looking up to heaven, Jesus sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear ones, again, I want to say I am so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful. And of course, after some weeks away, I've been thinking a lot about how to start this first message with you. And the only words that kept coming to me were thank you. Thank you. Thank you to those members of the community who saw that I needed some time for healing and time away. Thank you for the opportunity to be here again with you. Thank you, God, for being along my side the whole time. Thank you to the God who is, by the way, with you, no matter what you are going through at this time. And let the people say amen.
Amen.
It is one thing to stand every week and talk about grace and love and healing and forgiveness, and it is quite another thing to be the recipient of that love and grace. And I have really learned a lot in the last weeks about that, about the love that comes from community, the community that I stand and preach about all the time. And then when I received it, it was overwhelming is the best word that I can say. And I'm so grateful. And it just so happens that the readings appointed for today are all about healing and about words and the power of words. And I think God really does have a good sense of humor, doesn't she? Yes, she does. So I don't know if this is going to be the most perfect sermon ever, but it is what I have to say today. This is what I have to offer. I'm going to start with words. When I was a small Carrie, I often used my words. You won't be surprised to hear that I talked a lot as a young Carrie. And I used words to test out what my imagined life might be. I would say to my dad, maybe I'll be a concert pianist. Maybe I'll be a doctor. Maybe I'll open a restaurant. Maybe I'll go to Africa and teach little children. Maybe I'll write books. And I think I was looking for some kind of direction from my dad of what I was supposed to do. But every time, no matter how crazy my words were, my dad would say, "Carrie, you can do anything you put your mind to. Yep, you can." He didn't say, "Well, that sounds pretty hard," or "That's too far away," or "Don't you want to have a family or make money," or whatever. He just said, "Yeah, okay, you can do anything you set your mind to." And I thank God today for those words of my dad, because they were those words that accompanied me when I was moving across the country to go to grad school and paying for the moving truck with $1 bills in a paper envelope. Can't do that today, but I did at that time. And then when I moved to seminary in my late 30s, and then when I moved halfway across the world to Jerusalem to serve as pastor, and then most recently when I came back to this place, to the U.S. again, with my new partner, my wife, to serve here for the first time as an out gay pastor, every time I was hearing my dad say, "Well, you can do it. If you set your mind to it, you can do this. You can do this." Words have power. We believe that words have power, or we wouldn't be sitting here today listening to the words of God, to the words of the prophets, and to the imperfect words of this person standing at the pulpit for 12 to 15 minutes or more or less every week. We believe that words have something to do with life. Words have power to build up or to tear down. Now, today we heard some things about James from the book of James, and you know, Lutherans have a complicated relationship with James. We have a complicated relationship with the book of James because Martin Luther had a complicated relationship with James. But on this day, I would like to note that almost all of James's writings are devoted to the power of words, the power of speech, that what we say matters in the world and in our lives. For example, here are some things that you can hear from James. "Humans and their tongues are like horses led around by a small bit in our mouths. Humans are like ships directed by a very small udder. The tongue is a small fire which can easily set a whole forest ablaze. The tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison." Words matter. Words matter. They have power. And we so often, as humans with tongues, abuse that power. But the author of James also says, doesn't have to be that way. It ought not to be so. So I've been thinking about this as we enter into a new season together. Not the pumpkin spice season, not the election season, but this new season of life as a community. And I want to be reminded that we all have the power to use language, to use words for the good of the world and of community. The power of speech is a gift from God. And we are empowered to use that for good, for the good of others. James, in the third chapter, we hear, "Not many of you should become teachers. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." I'm not saying anything about elections. I'm just saying not many of you should be talking. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says something himself. He says something similar. To whom much has been given, much will be required. Or, to quote the great philosopher Ben, the uncle of Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. In other words, we are urged in Scripture to be aware not only of the power of words, but how position and privilege changes how those words are heard. Our tongues do not exist by themselves in the world. Our tongues are attached to our mouths, which is attached to a body which is covered in skin, which walks in a particular place in society, and we have to be aware of that. How do people hear what we say and when we say it? After all, it wasn't just that I heard those words from my dad. It was that I heard them from my dad. I heard them from him. And I am his daughter, and therefore the things that he said carry great weight, even today as I stand here. It's powerful and painful when a person with power and privilege says things, when a white male presidential candidate makes fun of women, Asians, Blacks, and immigrants. It's also powerful and life-giving when a person we have wronged or people we have wronged say, "I forgive you." Words have power, and our tongues can be powerful weapons of destruction, or they can be powerful tools for change. I had at least three sermons to preach today, and I wasn't sure which one I was going to do, and so I wanted to bring a visual aid. I kind of hate visual aids in sermons, but this is where we're at today. These are words that people from this community sent me in the last couple months. These are cards, words of love and encouragement and strength that were sent to me, and they are so powerful. So meaningful. I think of these like those words from my father, saying you can do hard things. You can do hard things. And I wonder how we can do that as a community, how we can use the gifts that God gave us to speak words of change and of life and of courage to those around us. It takes a little time, doesn't it? The people who wrote cards to me, they had to take time to think, what would I say to Carrie right now? And maybe it takes us some time to think, what do I want to say to the world? What is God helping me to say to the world today? Maybe some things we could say are things we have already heard. I am with you always, to the end of the age. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I love you all the way to the cross. Amen.